Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. This is a Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and starting by myself, which, like I said, has not happened in a while. So we'll see how far we can take it. But, you know, anyways, you know the deal. 646-478-3753. That's the number to call in. Ah, there we go. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, get on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, the front page is the blog on Wednesdays and Saturdays. You know that. So one will go up tomorrow morning. There is content added throughout the week, so swing on over there. Keep checking stuff out. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, though, go ahead and hit that link. Swing on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate it. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh. So I don't even know what's going on. What's going on?
I don't know. You sound a little groggy.
I am extremely tired. One of those days where I just couldn't sleep. And I've been up since I went to work this morning. So it's just one of those days. Hopefully I'll make up for it here tonight.
I don't know. There was some late arriving news about Martellus Bennett, but I didn't get to see what it was.
Oh, I see if Mouse Web sent me anything. There. What else we can find? I know there were still quite a few free agent signings, still happening. So we'll have to see. Apparently he is meeting with the Raiders, who are showing interest in him. So
that's pretty good. I have to ask you. When again was Tim Tebow's first at bat? How many days ago was that?
Yesterday.
Oh, it was just yesterday? Jeez.
I believe it was either yesterday or 2 days ago.
I feel like it was like a week ago with all the stupid people and all their dumb posts about it. I mean,
yeah,
it's getting a little old already.
Yeah, well, I know, like the one thing I saw today, they had, somebody had to break in to say he was 0-for-4 with 3 ground outs and a strikeout. And then, of course, the guy had to add in, he's making contact, though, and it's like, shut up. You're just being sarcastic. It's just there's so much jealousy around this guy that I don't understand it. I mean – it's to the point now where I want to root for the guy. I mean, I was never a Tebow fan when he was the Broncos quarterback, and I've never been a huge fan. I mean, even when he was in Florida, playing in Florida. But the more these guys just dog him for, and all he's trying to do is live a dream, and they're just dogging him. It just makes me want to root for him.
I know. I would say the same thing. I didn't. I'll never forget when I used to work every Sunday, started watching the NFL, and someone called me out and was like, what have you been living on a rock, under a rock? You don't know who Tim Tebow is? I'm like, dude, I work from 10 to 7 every Sunday. No, I don't watch the NFL. I don't know who it is. I missed that whole Broncos thing. And, I think this was before, the memes started and all that stuff became popular. I know everyone was doing their bow or their meal like he would do, but I, and when he bounced around, I didn't really was never really a fan of him, but like you said, the more they dog him, the more I want to root for him. I want to see him make it now.
Yeah, you know, like the funny thing is when, you know, you go back to the Broncos, they had a winning season, went to the playoffs, and won a game with Tim Tebow as their quarterback. You know, now obviously, you know, he wasn't going in the Hall of Fame as an NFL quarterback. You know, it just, you know, it kind of worked out. But winning means something. I mean, that's the object behind the game in pro sports. You know, it's not where every game is tied and we're giving everybody a trophy. You know, you need to win these games. And he did that with the team. You know, he was never impressive throwing the football. That was never his strong suit. But they tailored the offense around him and found ways to win games. I think they won 9 or 10 games that year. And then they beat the Steelers in overtime in the first round. And it was Tebow who hit like a 70-yard pass to Demaryius Thomas to win the game. So, you know, I mean, and then obviously, you know, they went out and got Peyton Manning, and that pretty much ended it. You wonder if Manning doesn't come there, what they would have done with Tebow, or, you know, how his NFL career may have played out. You know, but he, you know, he moved on. Obviously, he was good enough to get signed. And, you know, he, you know, you and I, and it's weird because you and I seem to be the only two guys who have rationally looked at this and realized that he's not going to walk in and make the major league team. You know, and I can't figure out why these guys who get paid to do it, you know, and just aren't on the internet doing a podcast, can't figure this out, and they just have to continue to randomly take shots at him.
Well, and if you remember, the funny thing was is I kind of was leaning on the side that everyone's on now when he was in the NFL because I kind of got tired of hearing about it. You remember everywhere he went, they're like, and, you know, I was ready for him to be gone out of there and move on. I'm tired of hearing his name. And now it's kind of the opposite. But like you said, we didn't think for 1 minute that he's going to come in and take Seth Smith's job.
He's not going to be starting in any outfield position for the Mets this year. He's not even going to be a September call-up unless he makes a vast improvement. And, you know what I mean? Vast, I should say, like, world record improvement from where he is now. You know, it's something he wanted to do. They, you know, and, you know, this wasn't the only team that was willing to sign him. You know, is it a nice little attention grab for them with spring training going on and everything kind of sucking? Yeah, sure, because, you know, the media is there. They're going to cover all this. And, you know, to me, that's kind of their fault. I mean, you're the one laying the attention on a 31-year-old who's trying to make a baseball career. You know, I mean, yeah, I don't get it. Oddly, though, it's kind of funny you brought up Tebow to start. There was actually a Colorado woman, let me see if I can find her name here, Michelle Marie Thompson, who's 36 years old, was arrested for allegedly stalking Tim Tebow. So, yeah, she, let's see here, she was arrested and charged with trespassing after ignoring a warning to stay away from the New York Mets spring training facility. The Mets train in Port St. Lucie, Florida. When she was arrested, she told police that she lived with and was in a relationship with Tebow. So, you know, obviously a little off her rocker. She apparently had been loitering in the player's parking lot, looking and asking questions about Tebow. And then the staff kind of noticed what was going on, and so yeah, just a little nuts. So hopefully she'll get the help she needs and won't you know, won't be too much of a bother. So. But yeah, I thought it was here. Oddly, this article says Tebow's only 29, so I may have added a few years to his age. But yeah, so.
To me, he looks like he's 25.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously he's in, you know, definitely, you know, he's in great shape, you know, if, yeah, you know, if he can play, you know, he'll make, you know, he'll slot in wherever they think he needs to start. I mean, my guess is he's probably going to end up in like Class A, you know, and, you know, let him try to develop there and, you know, see. But I mean, you know, it probably, best case scenario, it'd probably be 3 years before he's ready for major league pitching. And, you know, that's the other thing, you know, guys are, you know, his first at bat or two, he's facing guys who will be pitching in the majors.
Well, I mean, that was,
so
that was one thing I took away from watching his first at bat was it's one thing to hit off the guy, you know, taking Bryce Harper, for instance, his dad tossed him, you know, 60-mile-an-hour balls. When you've got a professional Major League Baseball player like Rick Porcello, who's been doing this, you know, since forever, gunning down for you. I mean, you could definitely see that Tebow trying to figure out his timing, and that's all going to take time. And like you said, there's no way he's going to be called up in September. I think he definitely needs, after watching that first at bat, you can sit there and look at it and go, yeah, he needs this spring training, plus he needs this entire next year to spend in the minor leagues. And, you know, I don't know the terms of his college contract, but I honestly think if he really wanted to make a go for it, he could try to get out of that contract and do some winter ball and some of the other things. To try to, you know, keep in the speed. But at the same time, if he doesn't, I mean, he's got the money to continue to train, even though, you know, he'll be spending Saturdays, you know, for the SEC. So.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, if he misses, you know, only Saturdays, and, you know, I don't think he'll miss games or anything. You know, it would never work out to be any, you know, anything like that. But, you know, it's something he's going to have to look into do. And, you know, I mean, you know, like today, you know, he went 0-for-4 with the strikeout. You know, he doesn't have a hit yet. But, you know, he had a couple at bats against, you know, Joe Musgrove of the Astros today. Now, you know, Musgrove is one of the top young pitchers in the game. And, you know, a guy the White Sox highly coveted in a deal for Jose Quintana. So, you know, I mean, he's getting at bats against major league pitching. You know, I mean, the other guys who came in who he faced, yeah, you know, they're probably destined for the minors. You know, but you never know. I mean, one of them might hang on and, you know, fit into they're playing the Astros today. Some may fit into the Astros bullpen, may not. But, you know, I mean, it would be nice if he could get a hit off of one of these guys. And, you know, maybe he will eventually. But, you know, that doesn't even matter. What you want to see is how he does against major league pitching, and that's what you're looking at. You know, he's struggling against the top pitchers, and that's what you expect. So, yeah, it was highly, highly irritable, but all right, well, let me see what we did there. See if it works today first. Hey, there we go. Oh, okay, Dan, hey. We must be in trouble because Mr. stopped by.
No, I just I was hoping you guys were talking some free agent football because I'm frustrated and ready to find a new team and get rid of the Bears. I'm so disgusted with them.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were just, you know, we were venting on Tim Tebow. Now, you know, to be fair, though, they made two good signings today, I believe, picking up the defensive backs, right?
Well, Prince is a guy who I really liked when he came out of college, but he hasn't really equated to much. He's been probably a middle of the road cornerback, so it's an improvement over what they have. The other guy, the Falcon safety that they picked up, all the scouts and everything I've said or heard, he was a system player, and he's a special teamer on most teams. We'll see. Last year was a career year, but he had a lot of talent around him in that secondary. So, you know, we'll see. But they plugged holes. I mean, that's what they did. You know, they got a number three wide receiver, even though I like the guy, but he's not a one or a two from Pittsburgh, my guy, and I can't come up with his name now. But, yeah, he's my guy. I know he's my guy. Thank you. But, yeah, he's a three at best, and so they don't have a one or a two in that receiving core. And then, you know, the most frustrating thing out of the whole thing for me, they were in on the two big-name quarterbacks, Cooley and was it Stephon Gilmore? Is that what his name is? From Buffalo that went to the Patriots. These guys didn't even have the Bears on their radar, and the Bears had what they were willing to pay was equal or more than what the teams who signed them were. Bowie wouldn't even return the Bears' phone calls. He said he wasn't going. When you get beat out by Jacksonville and the free agents aren't calling you back, your organization's in big trouble.
I mean, all of our social media, all the Bears fans are just happy that Cutler's gone. And
they're so stupid.
I know, and we'll see how happy they are next year. But, I mean, I'm reading right now that Ryan Pace is fired up to have Glennon on the team. I mean.
So you get a guy who's unproven, hasn't been able to hook on as a starting quarterback. And, understand, you know, in the beginning, before Winston came to Tampa, he couldn't be the guy. And now all of a sudden he's great, and you're going to take him over Cutler. And it costs you an extra $1 million to bring this guy in than what it costs to have Cutler. I understand their contract, they structured it, so there's only $19 million on the hook if it doesn't work out. But this was a good year to have Cutler's contract. Why don't you keep Cutler, save the money, invest it somewhere else, and draft a guy? Whether it's this year or next year's quarterback class is going to be really good. You know, do something else with it. I just don't get these meatheads who are just Cutler had to be out of town, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, you know, they did also sign Keon Sims, the Dolphins tight end.
Yeah, and he's never been anything more than an afterthought. I mean, is he even a blocking tight end? He was brought in as a – he's supposed to be a pass-catching tight end, and they lost their blocking tight end. He signed somewhere else. And so they bring in this guy and give him $18 million over 3 years. And he's really never been productive. So I just didn't understand it. That's why the Dolphins didn't want him back.
Why didn't they bring back Martellus Bennett? That's what I want to know.
I don't know either. But Martellus is rumored. I saw where he was going to sign, and I don't remember where it was.
They said Raiders are in talks with him. Yeah.
That's it. And they haven't had a good pass-catching tight end there. If they get Martellus Bennett and he's healthy next year, can you imagine what that offense is going to be like with the weapons they have? And you slot Martellus Bennett in there now?
Well, I just got this. The Packers are expected to sign Glennon.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, I did see that the talks with Jared Cook broke down and he was going to start meeting with other teams. So.
Yeah, the Bears were one of the teams originally rumored it to be in contact with them, and then all of a sudden Sim signing came out of nowhere.
Well, here you go, Mr. Fantasy. I know this will make you happy because you need to know this. Sims caught 26 passes last year in 14 games for four touchdowns, with four touchdowns.
Yep, 26 over how many games did you say he actually played?
14 he played in. He's never played a full 14, six okay. games. 15, 14, 13, and then 14 last year. So not like serious injuries, but always enough to miss a few games.
Yeah, so then you're looking at a guy who he caught just under two passes a game.
And, and he did catch a five-yarder. He caught a five-yarder in Miami's playoff game this year.
Nice. He did. And Miami was, you know, did throw it a lot. So for him to not get involved in that is crazy.
Yes.
So I'm just frustrated, and so we'll see how they screw up the draft. And there's still guys that came that got released today, like Butler from the Colts got released. He's still older, but he would be a nice corner to have. He's better than Prince is right now. So if they could do that, and there's a couple safeties that came out. I think there was a safety from Buffalo. I can't call up his name that got released today, and he's actually a decent player. It's an up. It's who?
It was former Bear Gordon Graham who was released by the Bills today.
Was it?
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's going to be guys who come available, but it's, you know, they're just pulling off everybody else's trash heap right now.
I mean, after the draft, I am kind of excited to when they release the schedule, just to see how that'll break down. And I'm sure, you know, now that Cutler's gone, the season ticket holders and everybody will come out in groves or droves or however you say it. But for how many weeks will that last?
You know, and then Jeffrey, you know, he signed with, you know, with Philly. Did you see the details of his contract?
1 year, $14 million.
Well, no, it's $14 million if he hits his all his incentives. And actually, it's he gets a $1 million pay for the year. It's $7.5 million signing bonus. And then there's a $750,000 workout bonus. And then if he makes the Pro Bowl, he gets a bonus for making the Pro Bowl. If he gets certain, and they didn't release what they were, but certain milestones and yards and touchdowns and things like that, then there's additional money to be had. But it's essentially it's a one year $9.5 million contract is what it is. The Bears were offering a long term contract, and Jeffrey kept saying, "Oh, you know, the Bears are in play, and getting a 1 year contract means he had no intention of coming back because they offered him multi years, but it wasn't that, you know, what he wanted. It was 10 to 12 million or something is what I had heard."
All right, well, here, I'll try to make you feel better. Now, on the Mickey Mouse website, the guy who grades the free agent signings is someone by the name of Bill Barnwell. I don't know anything about him. He gives the Bears a grade of an A for signing Prince Amukamara.
He's fair, but he's a number two is what he is on quarterback. And what are they going to do, put him and Fuller together? Because that's not going to work. They needed to make a splash and get one of the top free agent corners. And unless they're going to swing a trade with the Patriots, because Malcolm Butler may be expendable now, but they're going to ask, you know, a hefty price for that if they don't end up trading him to the Saints. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. Because they're not going to take a corner in the first round, and they're not – and even though corners are deep in this draft is what everybody keeps saying, they're going to probably end up having to spend second pick on a quarterback. Then you're, you know, it's going to be hard to find impact players when you get to the third round.
All right, well, his Mike Glennon grade is C.
Yeah, Mike Glennon, I don't know why they wasted that pick or wasted that money. And I personally would have kept Cutler.
Yeah, those look like those are the only two Bears signing piece graded. So,
you know, and the and I know the Browns have been in this situation before, but if you're paying attention, do you see the picks that the Browns have for the next 2 years? And that then with all the cap room, pulling off the Osweiler trade to get a second-round pick, that was pretty ingenious to do that.
Yeah, that was an in the salary that the guy you're going to get rid of to get something else you want.
Yeah. So they paid $8 million for a second-round pick, essentially is what they did.
Yeah, Dan, guy, Adam, think that it's a done deal. Bennett's going to be signing with the Packers.
Oh, wow. Just decided to be watching Packers games this year, huh? So, I mean,
so,
now that we've let Mr. Fantasy get some of that frustration out, I mean, is there a team that you might focus on? I don't know, maybe you'll take a break from the Bears until Ryan Pace and John Fox are gone? Or do you think you're really looking to invest in a new team?
I couldn't hear you.
Well, listen to
Claire, what do you mean? Is there a team that you think you might be rooting for next season? You know, like the Giants?
Yeah, I don't know who it's going to be. I have to figure it out. I love the Chiefs, so maybe I'll just root for the Chiefs altogether, and then just jump on whoever's playing against the Bears bandwagon for that week, kind of like I do with the Cubs when they have a series against anybody.
Oh,
yeah, how'd that work out for you,
Lex? Yeah, last year was the first year I didn't, so. And you know, in my 45 years of watching baseball, that was the first year of hitting the butt. So I got pretty good odds there.
Oh.
Just be glad we didn't make a bet.
Oh. So, yeah. And is it me or are the Patriots just like free agent masters this year? They have all this money, and they just seem to be. I don't ever recall them being this active in free agency before.
Yeah, you know they've done. Well, you know they do such interesting things. You know, I mean, like they made the swap with Indy to get Dwayne Allen, and today they made the same kind of deal with Carolina to get Coney Ealy. I think it is Ealy or Early Ealy.
Yep.
You know, they seem to do that. And they just kind of do sneaky things. I mean, they got one of the top corners on the market. Was it Stephon Gilbert, right?
Yep.
You know, they wrapped him up and they – yeah, you know, it's weird. You'd never expect them to do these things, and then they just kind of all of a sudden here they are. And, you know, you wonder why they just keep winning.
You know, and if they can get – so they pick him up, which makes their cornerback expendable, and then if they pull off the trade with – the Saints to get the receiver that they've made available, it's going to be huge for them. I mean, they were the favorites to win probably before all this.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the, you know, one of the things, you know, why they continue to win. So, you know, I did think it was pretty funny. I don't know if either of you guys saw this, but Jimmy Garoppolo's Instagram account got hacked. And somebody went on and posted that wanted to thank Boston or whatever for his time there. And that set everybody just going off. So I don't know if it was Dan who hacked it or somebody else, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah. I spent a little extra time in the car this morning, and that's all they were talking about was this. And was he just drunk and hung over and hit and realized that him or his buddies had changed something on his Instagram or, you know, whatever, because nothing had been, you know, hadn't been fixed. And so everybody's speculating on trades, and then the experts were on saying, you know, if this had happened, somebody who was in close with the Patriots or with the Browns or wherever he went would have known that this had happened. You can't keep that a secret today's NFL.
Yeah, I just... Funny. Now, Dan, you know, it's official. The Browns cut your guy RG3. What are the chances he goes back to Washington, which is something I heard?
Well, I found it interesting that when they talked about the Redskins signing of Cousins and the franchise tag, that that made him eligible for trading. So why would they kind of go around that carefully?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, if you're RG3, do you go back? I mean, at this point, I don't know what your options are, but would you go back?
I mean, the fans of the Redskins bought your entire wedding registry. Why not? They loved you then.
I don't know, Mr. Fantasy. Should he go back?
I don't think he. I mean, I think wherever somebody would offer him a job, he should go. I think his selection of teams is going to be very small now. So if they offer him, then of course he should go back.
And I did see Robbie Gould, another former Bear, is going to San Francisco along with former Bear Matt Barkley. So the 49ers have signed both of Bears quarterbacks, two out of three Bears quarterbacks from last year.
Yeah, that was a winning formula for the Bears, so what's different? You know, how's that going to be any better for the 49ers? Are you a little surprised that there's been no interest in Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, you know, I mean, looking at the guys who have been signed, you wonder, but I mean, at this point, who's still, and I'm going to use a cool term because I want to, Dan, who's still thirsty for a quarterback?
The Texans?
Yeah, who do they even have right now?
Tom Savage. So,
yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be more with next year.
You kind of start looking around, you know, the Jets obviously need a guy, you know, unless they're going to go with Christian Hackenberg or Bryce Petty. You know, the Browns, that's the number one, their number one choice, I guess, is Jay Cutler. You know, the Browns have Cody Kessler and I believe Kevin Hogan on the roster. You know, Kessler didn't play terrible for them, so maybe they would go that route, you know, and then you're kind of looking. I mean, the Texans we mentioned, you know, other than that, you know, there's not a lot of openings. So, you know, I don't know where some of these guys are going to end up, you know, unless they're going to be willing to take backup roles. You know, I know the 49ers said they brought Hoyer in with the opportunity to start. I don't know if we consider Matt Barkley competition or if, you know, Blaine Gabbert's going to get another shot. Maybe they'll re-sign Dan's guy, Christian Ponder.
Yeah, the one guy I'm wondering if he gets another shot, maybe he ends up being a fit in Houston if they don't come up with something else, is Nick Foles. Out of all the guys that are floating around still, you just wonder if somebody would take a shot on him and he would be a guy that would fit in somewhere.
Yeah, you know, you do wonder. You know, I did hear the Chiefs were in the market for another quarterback behind Alex Smith. So, I don't know if they would bring Foles back or if they would look at one of these other guys out there on the market. But, yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, there's just not a lot of jobs, you know. I mean, most, if not all, the teams are set. So, you know, especially with the Bills bringing Tyrod Taylor back, you know, that locks up that job.
Yeah, but, you know, look, there's some dark horse teams that we haven't talked about. And the first one that comes to mind is look at Jacksonville. How long are they going to stay with their quarterback situation? That hasn't materialized like they had hoped. And I was surprised that they hadn't made a move already.
You know, if Tom Coughlin had his way, he probably would have got rid of Dan's type of portals by now. So, you got to wonder what's on there. But, you know, other than that, there's not really, you know, even if you add them to the mix, that still only gives you what? Teams, four teams, look at QB.
Yeah, and then, you know, one quarterback we talked about, I think on Sunday's show, is what's going to happen in Minnesota, because if you know, their guy comes back and he's fully healthy, they've got two starters under contract, and that's a lot of money to have invested in that position.
And Dan has to answer that for you. He has all the big questions.
I'm not sure.
So I haven't heard any updates on the – I haven't honestly looked either, but, you know, the injury situation, how the rehab's coming. But, you know, if he's healthy, what are they going to do?
Well, Ben, I thought it was saying that they were saying he might not even play this season.
Wow. Okay.
I mean
– Yeah, there was talk.
They're not having any luck with drafting quarterback.
Yeah, and then the last quarterback question that I have is, you know, we talked a lot on Sunday about Kirk Cousins and had the Redskins totally misplayed this, and could they even re-sign him after this, you know, franchise tag, and would it make more sense to get rid of him this year if they can't re-sign him? And he came out today and said, as long as the president, and I don't know what the president's name is, but the president of the organization is still there, he will not sign with them. And, you know, they made that sudden move yesterday to get rid of their GM. That place is just a joke. You know, what are they going to do with Cousins? He's not signing there next year.
No, he definitely won't be back. But to be fair, did they have another option with the GM? I know they kind of handled it poorly, but, you know, they didn't really have an option, right?
Well, I don't know. Nobody's been able to say that he had these demons he had been facing, but nobody heard of any situations that had happened recently that was new. And if they just felt that it was a power play, somebody trying to wrestle control away from him, and that's how they went about it, that none of this stuff was new to the organization. They had known about it for a long time. And so the timing was odd and made it look like something kind of sinister was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. All right, well, here you guys go. This is what I found here on Teddy Bridgewater. The Vikings general manager, who is a gentleman by the name of Rick Spielman, has said that Bridgewater hasn't done any football activities yet and is still working to get his knee back to functional. There is no timetable for Bridgewater's return, and no guarantee he'll ever play again.
Wow. Okay.
And I thought it was just sick.
So.
That's horrible.
So yeah, that's where they are with that.
So I guess there's no even entertaining movies that they have under center now.
Yeah, unless he's just trying to go that route to, you know, tamp down any kind of quarterback controversy, you know. But yeah, those are direct quotes for him. So,
you know, I wonder if you're the GM. So Spielman, you said is his name.
Yeah.
Are you on the phone with the Redskins right now saying, hey, I'll swap quarterbacks with you and then maybe throw a third rounder in there or a fourth rounder or something on top of it? Because I think Cousins is a better quarterback, but making that switch, and then they've got a guy who they maybe could sign long-term, and I'm sure a team like the Vikings could wrap up Cousins and get that knocked out if you don't think Teddy Bridgewater is coming back.
Yeah, I don't think you can trade for Cousins unless you've got a contract in place.
Well, you ask for you put that in that you need to have time to negotiate, and you put that in as, you know, part of the deal. You have to sign them long term, but I'd be taking that shot. I'd be making the phone call. You know,
yeah, I think they have.
bigger concerns. You know, they've got running game problems and wide receiver problems, and you know, they have other issues where I think Sam Bradford is okay. You know, and I don't know where their salary cap is, if they could add a salary like Cousins, which would probably be more than Bradford's. So,
But I'm just looking at any team that's got an average quarterback or you know, that maybe you need to make that phone call. You know, I think of the Chiefs, and I don't know how, you know, how old he is, you know, but that's another guy, you know, that you call and you know, see what you could, you know, work out there. So any team like that.
Alex Smith is 32. He'll be 33 in May.
Yeah. So, you know, and he's just a game manager, so you give up a little more, but then they have a quarterback and, you know, but those are the kind of teams that should be calling the Redskins to see, you know, give up a quarterback that's maybe not as good and then give up a pick or something to try to, you know, even it out and then go, because they're going to lose him for nothing at the end of the, you know, at the end of this year. And the writing's on the wall. Get something for him now to improve your organization.
They'll get a conditional pick for him. They'll get a sandwich pick.
Yeah, but you can get more. You can probably get more for him if you move him now.
Now you would think, but you know.
Yeah, but
you know that's the tough part is, you know, that's a lot of money. You know, who's that's a lot of money for a team to take on. So.
Yeah, but you're.
You know, and
you know,
the teams,
sure,
you know, the teams,
you know,
that need him, but the teams that need him, he's not going to sign with.
He would look mighty good in Houston.
Yeah, but you know, what he signed there, you know, he seems to have already made up his mind that he wants to go play for Schottenheimer. So, you know, I mean, once out, you know, he goes to San Francisco next year. So.
Yeah, but San Francisco is so far away from competing. And everything.
Yeah, but guys,
there's nothing.
You wanting to go there? You know, look. I mean, look at the guys they picked up. Guys want to. Offensive guys want to go play there.
Yeah, but
so,
what big name? I mean, big game changer have they picked up in free agency? They've picked up a couple role players, but they don't have. They didn't pick up. You know, anything that big that's changing the direction the franchise is going. They've got a long
Was there really that guy out there?
I don't know if there is, not offensively, but that's what I'm saying. They're so far away from being that offensive juggernaut. Just throwing him in there doesn't make that change. He doesn't have any weapons around him.
Well, but they've got a year to, you know, they've got a year to add guys now. You know, I mean, you know, everybody might, you know, maybe nobody liked the Pierre Garçon signing, but if you look at his stats, he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. You know, he had a really good year. So, you know, I mean, Carlos Hyde, you know, if you can keep Carlos Hyde healthy, he's a top quality NFL running back. You know, so I mean, you got to see what other pieces come into place here first. I mean, there are still guys out there, you know, that they can sign or, you know, they can bring in. So, you know, I mean, I'm not thrilled with, you know, Brian Hoyer being, you know, the quarterback, but you know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I just think, you know, you get a guy like Cousins and, you know, and you bring him in there. You probably got 4 years of bad football before you're going to get anywhere with him. So why, you know, if I'm Cousins and I'm looking at that, even if you like the guy's system, there's a team that's ready to win now. Why wouldn't you go to Houston? They've got several really nice weapons for him to work with. They've got two good receivers. They've got a nice pass catching tight end over there. They've got a phenomenal defense. I know they lost a couple players, but I think that they'll find ways to fix it. They don't have a lot of holes to fill. why wouldn't you want to go there?
Well, you want to go with the coach you're comfortable playing with.
Yeah, but everybody wants a ring. And I just think San Francisco is so far away from that.
Well, you know, I mean, even to be fair, as good as Houston, you know, would be with him, are they better than New England? You know, are they better than Pittsburgh? Does that make them better than even a Baltimore or a Denver? You know, if Denver happens to solve their quarterback issue?
I think they're better than Pittsburgh if they have him. I don't know that anybody's better than New England.
You know, would they even be better than him? You know, if they ever get their heads out of their butt and figure out what they're doing, you know, in their own division. You know, they also got to deal with Tennessee, who's a vastly improved team.
Yeah, no, I get all that. I'm just saying that's where I'm going, where I've got the shot to win. You know, where I'm going to be, where I'm going to be playing meaningful games at the end of the season.
Yeah, but, you know, if you go to San Francisco, you know, the Seahawks aren't as good as they used to be. They've lost so many guys, they just haven't been able to replace them. The Cardinals are in decline, and the Rams are your equal, if not lower than you. So you could walk in and be competitive with just adding the right couple of pieces. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, you're probably not a Super Bowl contender team, but, you know, are you really any worse off than Houston if you're getting in the tournament?
Yeah, maybe not. But I think Seattle is, as much as they declined, they are not far away from being a powerhouse team. They just need to, if they make the right moves this year with the pieces they have in place, then they're going to be tough to beat in that division. And you still got to go into Seattle and win every year. And Seattle really doesn't lose at home. If they lose one game, it's, you know, that's it. They don't usually lose more than that at home. So they've got 7 wins right away to start the season.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's always a big plus, but, you know, again, they're not the, you know, so you go in and you lose your game at Seattle. If you can beat them at home, you know, then you're even with them. You're right there.
Yeah, maybe. We'll agree to disagree, because I don't find San Francisco that appealing of a destination for me personally when I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's because you've
maybe
never been there.
Like,
and was there in really like the city. Yeah.
You know, the city's probably great, but I'm talking about the organization. It's not like you're talking about, you know, San Francisco of the 80s or something, you know, and you're going in there to replace Steve Young and Joe Montana, and you've got, you know, key people around. You're talking about an organization that's at one of its lowest points in, as an organization, you know, especially in a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, just about every team goes,
crazy.
You know, just about every team goes through this, but New England.
Yeah, for the Bears, it's called 2000.
Right, you know, I mean, you know, you look at, you know, Chicago, I mean, Cleveland is in that state. You know, I mean, look how bad the Lions were for a while before they were able to turn it around. You know, the Titans stunk, now they look like they're back on track. You know, Tampa Bay was a bottom feeder. You know, it took them a while to rebuild. You know, it's just how teams, you know, we didn't even mention the Raiders, who were terrible for how long. So, you know, it's kind of how the, you know, kind of how the NFL works. You know, unless you're New England. That's the only exception to the rule.
Yeah, I mean, England is just, I stopped paying attention to the Bucks, and all of a sudden they're no longer in the spirit division.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You win the Super Bowl and you had the most cap space. I remember when we were talking about that, and you're going, can you imagine what they could do with all that money in New England if they wanted to? And you don't have to convince anybody to come to town. Do you want a ring?
No.
We got a spot for you. Come on.
Yeah, you know, that's all it is. I mean, I'm waiting for Adrian Peterson to sign there.
He might. I'm wondering what they're going to do with the running back position, because – you know, they're not, it doesn't look like Blount is coming back. So where are they going to do? They need a, you know, a power back to have in that system, and they don't have it on the roster right now. you know, they've got their receiving backs and the guys who play, you know, multiple positions out of the backfield, but they don't have that guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Obviously, they have time to find him. But, yeah, you know, it's just kind of funny. You know, you just look at it and go, you know, you pick up Tony Call, Adrian Peterson, hey, you want to come play here? So, you know.
So, you know, and with running backs, just, you know, the one guy I'm wondering is, and I don't know that people really understand how important this guy was, but how big of a deal is it that Danny Woodhead's not back in San Diego next year?
Well, to be fair, nobody's back in San Diego next year.
Yeah, nobody's back, but you know what I'm saying. He's not back with the Chargers next year.
Yeah, you know, I always liked the guy. I'm disappointed that they didn't bring him back, or they're not going to bring him back, or whatever they're going to do. So, you know, who knows? You know, maybe he'll catch on there. Well, you know, he did have the horrible knee injury last year. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's not 100%.
Yeah, maybe.
So, you know,
but, yeah,
you know, you never know with the medicals and stuff like that.
You know, finding running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield is, you'd think that's easy, but it's not. Most guys can't do it.
You know, Jamal Charles met with the Seahawks, so there you go. Maybe he'll go there.
Yeah, that'd be good for you, right?
Yeah, he'd be a nice fit. He'd be a nice compliment. Yeah, I mean, you know, he'd be a nice compliment to Thomas Rawls if they could both stay healthy. Oh, so, you know, that would be a plus. You know, Dan, do you have you're a Viking guy. You got a landing spot for Peterson you want to see?
I mean, I just assumed he would end up in Houston.
Now, you know, I did hear the Raiders were really interested too. Would you be okay with that?
Well, why not?
Well, you know, there's always places, you know, you don't want guys to end up, you know. No, we don't want to see anybody end up with the Bears. God only knows what they'll do with them, but
yeah, well, that's the one position they don't need, that they actually have what looks like to be one of the better backs. I mean, that's it. So, obviously, they're going to be running the ball like crazy. If Mike Glennon can hand the ball off 30 times a game, maybe he'll be good. I could probably get under center and do that, couldn't I, hand the ball off 30 times?
I don't know.
But, you know, what I'd like to see is I want to see Eddie Lacy in Minnesota, and then see Adrian Peterson in Green Bay. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, have just flip spots, yeah.
And with Martellus Bennett.
I'm fine with that. I don't care. I just think that would be fun to swap those two guys.
Yeah, you know, definitely. It definitely would be, you know, an interesting switch. You know, of course, you'd have to see who could stay healthy. That's always the fun part with any of it, especially with both of those guys.
You know, I keep hearing that the Packers are very aggressively keeping in contact with Eddie Lacy, but I'm going, why? Is there any reason anything that you saw that you're going, you know, I really need to get this guy back somehow?
Well, you know, I believe 2 years ago, wasn't it, he was pretty good. You know, he knows this. You know, just a matter of keep healthy.
Yeah, I just feel fantasy wise, wasn't he a guy that you kind of pick up after the draft?
Well, no, he was a big time pick last year. You know, he was still rated as a pretty high running back.
Because he was that bounce back player last year is what everybody was rooting on, and he didn't bounce back. You know, I've got my category of guys who I don't want, that I question their dedication to their craft and their heart. And it starts with Julius Thomas, so maybe Buff or maybe Dolphins can flip him around and figure him out. But and Eddie Lacy's in that picture, and Colin Kaepernick is in that class picture for me, and those are three guys I want nothing to do with.
Well, let me ask why. Did that have anything to do with the political stance, or was it more do you think he's lost it? Or maybe he never really had it?
You know, and maybe the Big Jack will remember this. After what did it in for me is I don't agree with anybody protesting through the national anthem. To me, that there are certain things you can't do, burn the flag during the national anthem. That's just me. There's only certain people could ever earn the right, and Colin Kaepernick hasn't been in war. He hasn't been shot at. He hasn't done any of that stuff. So I don't think he's earned the right to do that unless you're a veteran, and veterans aren't doing that. You can't protest in that way. But, you know, it's a free country. He can do what he wants. That's fine. When he played the Bears this year, and we had that snow game, and you could see he had given up in the first quarter. He had given up, and nothing happened. And then, you know, I don't remember. I think it was Matt Barkley was under center that game, and he came out in the second quarter, and slowly he worked it out and figured out how to throw, and he started moving the ball really well in the second half. And Colin Kaepernick just looked like he had given up. He had no will to fight, and they ended up pulling him out of that game. And that was just telling to me that this guy couldn't muster through the weather and overcome it, and he gave up. And it was very obvious he had given up during that game. And that's what did it in for me, is that when the chips are down and things are hard, he can't handle it. And I don't want a guy like that going to war for me, especially under center.
I don't know, Dan, would you take Colin Kaepernick?
No, not at all.
So you would, Mr. Fantasy, you would take Mike Glennon over Colin Kaepernick then? You're okay there?
I'm perfectly fine there, but, you know, you're talking about a bad quarterback and an unproven quarterback, you know. If I got Mike Glennon or Jay Cutler, I'm taking Jay Cutler every day. And Jay Cutler just, everybody hates him. He was a very class act on the way out. And I don't know if you guys read or got to hear, you know, his remarks and everything when he left. But as bad as Chicago beat on this guy, he was very classy on the way out. Most guys, I think, would have been completely different in the message that they, you know, that they sent and the way that they said goodbye to a city that treated him as bad as they did. Chicago didn't deserve for him to be that classy on the way out.
No, you got to wonder if he's, you know, still vying to get another job. But, you know, that's something Big Jack and I used to talk about. I believe it was two seasons ago. He had his, you know, Tuesdays with the mothership, you know. I forget who the hosts were. And I think after about 6 weeks, he stopped going, and it became the Brandon Marshall thing. I mean, because, yeah, they were nice to him when they did the show to him, but the other 6 days a week, they just trashed Jay Cutler every day. And I always found it hypocritical when they sat next to him. They had nothing but nice stuff to say.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. It seems like the hour flew by, so we're out of here. But don't worry. Fantasy and I are back Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to continue to whatever the heck this is. Dan takes the weekend off. He'll be back Monday. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the content there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Of course, jump on that Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. Check that out. You can find the rest of us on Twitter, even Mr. Fantasy, but he probably won't reply to you. So don't expect one. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.